All right, I am Haggai Davis III, along with Haggai Davis II, and we'd like to welcome you to Tech Gumbo. Our show is a conversation about the past, present, and future of all things technology that we like to keep topical, interesting, and digestible. We want to thank our sponsor, Cardinal Capital, for making this possible. Cardinal Capital connects businesses to capital. It doesn't matter what business that you are in, Cardinal Capital has the resources all across the United States that are willing to help fund organizations of all sizes, life cycles, categories, and locations. Cardinal Capital works with you to craft the best commercial finance package for you to achieve your business goals. Whether you're looking to refinance current debt because of the new government programs and favorable interest rates, or finance new equipment, or maybe you're trying to acquire another business entirely, Cardinal Capital has the resources to make it happen. When lenders cannot do a loan, they seek out Cardinal Capital to help. The Cardinal Capital guys are easy to work with and fun to be around. Contact them today at 225-308-3700 or send them an email at info@cardinalcap.net, and they'll be happy to help you with your commercial finance needs.
So each week we take a listener question. They went to our website, techgumbo.net, went to the question of the week tab, clicked in, sent us a question. This week's question, what's going on with Google search?
So this is a good question. And the answer is that Google has spent a lot of money on their artificial intelligence software, and they are looking to put it into their primary product, which is the search engine. And so they're calling it Search Generative Experience, or SGE for short.
Google has really spent a lot of time. They started off with Bard, and then they upgraded their LLM to Gemini, and now this Gemini is sitting in the background of the Google search engines. If you go to Google Search Labs and you turn on the search generative experience, you're going to get a much more ChatGPT or Microsoft Copilot looking answer instead of the traditional 20 years worth of going to Google and you type in a search and it gives you 500 links. Now you're going to get the one answer that You'll have some more links if you want, but here's the answer.
The links will still be below that, but very importantly, Google knows how far people scroll down the page, and they almost never go past the second or third link. And so if those second and third links are pushed farther down, and the answer that Google is showing you is at the top, because what they're trying to do is they're trying to collect information from two or three different links and synthesize it together and show you that at the top and have an ad next to that. Because what Google is trying to do is, instead of you clicking on the link and then you going to the web page and then you seeing an ad on the web page, there Google has to share some of that ad revenue with the company. But if you never go to that web page, Google doesn't have to share any of that ad revenue. They keep all of it for themselves, and that's what this is about.
So if you want to give it a try, go to google.com and do a search for Search Labs, and you'll have to click on the turn on the search generative experience and give it a run. If you don't like it, you can always go back and turn it off.
I've been using it for several months now. I turned it on sometime back in the fall, and I do kind of like it sometimes. It's not fantastic, but every once in a while, it gives me the answer that I want. I find a lot of times it pulls from Wikipedia. And so it's, you know, maybe just 80% what the top of Wikipedia is plus 20% from some other stuff. And that's fine. It's not quite ready to completely upend my entire search experience, but this is what they're trying to do, is they're slowly rolling it out to people who didn't ask for it, to say, hey, are you upset by this? Does this work for you? Do you like this? How can we alter it? Because this is the future.
Much like you said, you've been using this now for several months. I've been using Copilot to do the same searches. I stopped using Google to search things a long time ago because the Copilot was giving me better answers, more specific answers, instead of 1,000 links to things. And so this is now game on with the Google search generative experience versus Microsoft Copilot. May the best search engine win.
Yes, we've truly entered a different era of the internet.
So thank you for that question. We'll be sending out that big, beautiful tech gumbo mug. If you would like a mug, you can go to our website. There's pictures of it. It's got logos on it, and it's a big 20-ounce mug. Send us a question. If we use your question, we will send you a mug. Moving on to the big story of the week, Florida has passed a law banning all forms of social media for minors under the age of 14 years old.
Yeah, this is a big one. It's complicated, and we have a lot of different thoughts about it. The intention, we like the idea that if you're 13, you should probably not be using social media. Social media, we are only starting to understand the impact on people, and it's really messy and just bad. The question is this something that the government should be regulating out, and is this the right way to do it?
I think this is an overreach by the government. When you have the government coming in and saying, look, we know how to better parent than you do. I just don't like that part of it. I love the fact that as a society, as the government of Florida is saying, hey, folks, social media is bad. It is. We all can agree on that, especially for young kids. The problem starts getting into, okay, but we'll allow 14 and 15-year-olds to use social media as long as mom and dad give you permission. Well, how are we going to verify who is mom and dad? And that's there's all kind of problems fraught, and that's just the beginning of where the problems begin.
This is definitely gets really complicated simply because the internet itself as a platform complicates a lot of different things like this. So if we look at alcohol or gambling, then obviously the government says you cannot drink alcohol if you are a minor. You cannot gamble if you are a minor. You have to wear a seatbelt if you are a minor. And those are things which we're comfortable with. But if you are buying alcohol or if you are gambling, you have to present a form of ID. But whenever you show your driver's license in person at a gas station, that's just a much easier and much less invasive transaction than whenever you have to prove your age online. Because whenever you have to prove your age online, so many more things are tied together. It's so much more information. It's so much more revealing that that's where this gets really messy and really complicated.
When little Johnny, who's 13, sorry, you can't get on. Here's little Susie. She's 15. Well, you have to have your parents' permission. Well, okay, here's little Susie's phone. The social media platforms know these kids' ages. They know specifically almost to the date these kids were born, but they don't know who mom and dad specifically is. So are we going to say, okay, here's the 15-year-old's cell phone number and email address. Here's mom and dad's cell phone numbers and email addresses. Who's verifying that those are actually mom and dad, not an older brother, older sister, or a crazy uncle who, you know, or whatever, that's giving these kids permissions? And it's just real problem to try and verify things that way.
Oh, yeah. And that's really wherever a lot of this is going to get messy, where it's probably going to end up with, it definitely is going to end up in court cases, that other states have tried things like this, that other states have also lost the lawsuits on this. And sometimes it comes down even to just the specifics of the law, that maybe there's something in the Florida Constitution that's not in the Utah Constitution, or maybe it's just there was one clause in the Florida bill that's not in the Utah bill. And so it gets really weedy on this as to whether or not this will stand up, and that some people are hesitant and skeptical because of that being forced to verify your age portion, while still also liking the idea that we should have fewer minors on social media, because social media in a lot of ways borrows directly from slot machines. we don't allow 13-year-olds to play slot machines for very obvious reasons, even though social media directly copied a lot of slot machine behavior. And so where do we draw the line there? Is it that slot machines use actual money, whereas with social media, you're just spending your time, your attention? Is that a firm enough distinction for us?
When you start looking at the percentage of kids who actually use social media, a study was done by the Pew Research Center that kids between 13 and 17 years old, 93% said they used YouTube, 63% said they used TikTok. I'm surprised it was only 63% and not much higher. And then Snapchat and Instagram also were pretty high on the surveys as well. When you start looking at that many kids that are using these platforms, and it's not good. Now, to be fair, back in the day, back when I was that age, well, we were watching TV for hours at a time instead of playing TikTok videos. We were watching Bugs Bunny cartoons. Was that just as bad as watching TikTok videos, or I don't know?
My guess is what's happening in that survey is that ultimately the fact that TikTok, Snapchat, and Instagram are all 63, 60, and 59%, what you're actually seeing is what percentage of those kids have smartphones, because you can access YouTube from a computer. And so that's why the YouTube number is so much higher, is that not every 13-year-old has a smartphone, but pretty much every 13-year-old has access to the internet in one form or another. And so that's what you're seeing there. But to go back to your point about, is the Bugs Bunny cartoon the same as the TikTok video? So new studies have collected data about the amount of time that users are spending on these platforms. And users on Snapchat spend about 30 minutes a day, which, okay, feels pretty reasonable. They spend about 45 minutes a day on Instagram. That's a little bit higher, but, you know, still in the fine range. I'm not upset at that number. They spend more than 90 minutes per day on TikTok. That is double the amount of time as Instagram and triple the amount of time as Snapchat. That is an incredible leap.
That is even more than what's on YouTube. On YouTube, it's about 80 minutes per day. 97 minutes a day on TikTok is an inordinate amount of time to be looking at that small screen on your phone.
That's part of why I think TikTok is drawing so much more attention, is that this is such a thorny problem that you have both the fact that TikTok is partially controlled by a Chinese company. It has Chinese origins, and it's very difficult to assess the way that the Chinese government still controls or influences TikTok. That is one portion of it. The other portion of it is this is by far the most powerful social media app that has ever been created. Their recommendation, bar none, is miles better than any other recommendation algorithm. And it is so powerful that that is the part which makes me uncomfortable. That is the part which makes me nervous.
The algorithm that TikTok uses to show you the things that you want to see is so much more powerful than all the other social media platforms. And the fact that they're doing so much business through this platform that you're looking at a lot of videos and not even realizing you're seeing videos that are becoming commercials until 10, 15, 20 seconds in. And then all of a sudden, if you like this, here's a little bar that you can click on. And all of a sudden, now you're seeing the full ad and you can go buy whatever was in that video, is a really, really powerful way to do business.
Yeah, and there are a lot of Americans who are running valid businesses, who are making something, who are providing a service, who are doing incredibly, you know, above the board, legal, wonderful American capitalism. And how do we separate that out? I don't think we can. I think that is inherently baked into this. And part of the way that I think about this is the difference between alcohol and cocaine, that both of them are addictive substances. Both of them have some level of destructive power to them, but alcohol is a little less addictive and a little less destructive. And that it exists, you know, bountifully in our society, and we mostly function with it. There is, as best as I can tell, no functioning society in which this percentage uses cocaine regularly. And I wonder if TikTok is the same way, that it is just so concentrated, so addictive, so destructive, that it is, while it is similar, you know, Instagram is a social media platform as well. Instagram just isn't as good. It's not as, doesn't have its hooks in you the same way. And maybe the fact that it's a worse and weaker product is its saving grace.
Another angle to this whole TikTok, then the government trying to pass laws forcing ByteDance to sell, because is how much of that is being influenced by other e-commerce platforms, let's say an Amazon, which, you know, they do a tremendous amount of business. And, well, Jeff Bezos is an American and Amazon's an American-made company. How much influence is Amazon pushing on Congress? Because they don't want that Chinese-owned or that other company to be doing as much e-commerce through TikTok. I mean, I'm not a conspiracy theorist guy at all. But you see a rivalry there where TikTok's business platform is got a hockey stick level rise on the number of sales in dollars versus where Amazon is kind of, they're plateauing. It's a high number to plateau at. How much is that going on?
Oh, I think you're absolutely right that, you know, you could see Mark Zuckerberg again making these same arguments that on the surface feel like he's a proud American who is just trying to do the right thing, who also stands to gain a lot of ground from this. Because if TikTok is ultimately banned and the U.S. government is seeking to force a sale, they're not quite looking to ban it, but that gets complicated and gets messy. Well, if TikTok goes away, all those eyeballs go back to Instagram. And so it's exactly as you said, that you don't get to be the CEO of a trillion-dollar company by accident. You're doing multiple, you're doing one thing which has a lot of different benefits at the same time. And so, you know, to what extent is this a good-natured, honest, we really believe in the U.S. here versus we really believe in the U.S. dollar here?
The idea that the federal government is trying to force the sale of TikToks, forcing ByteDance to sell, is kind of an interesting when you start looking at who actually owns ByteDance. And the Chinese government, or the company in China, shall we say, it's only about 20 or 25% of the ownership. The employees own a bigger share of ByteDance than the Chinese government does. And there's a lot of American investors who have a lot of money tied up into that company.
Yeah, it's about 20% is the original founder, 20% is the employees, and the other 60% are investment groups, international investment groups. And so that's part of what makes this really difficult to properly peel apart all the layers on this, is that the Chinese government does not own any percentage of the company. But yet, their report just recently as December 2023 of the Chinese government influencing how the business runs. And so, you know, it's something that's, it's not on paper. It's not going to show up in a report that, oh, yes, this decision directly came from Chinese government official XYZ. But we know that this happens. We know that in 2022, there was reporters who had their data that was collected by the Chinese government through the TikTok app. We know that TikTok had lists of people who it believed to be gay because of the content they were consuming. And so if TikTok can look at all the videos you're watching and figure out all these different identity attributes about them, and then some of them just happen to flow backwards into China, which are all things which we explicitly know have happened, then it's not really a separate product. And that's where all this gets incredibly messy, incredibly complicated.
So in a nutshell, TikTok and social media are all-encompassing and really complex, and it's going to be a bumpy ride for quite some time as we try to figure out what we're doing here. And we want to thank General Informatics for sponsoring our show. General Informatics is an information technology firm with a mission, and that mission is to make our clients even more successful through the best use of technology. General Informatics is a premier IT managed services provider, delivering exceptional managed IT solutions to a diverse base of customers. GI has evolved to become the leading IT partner of businesses, schools, and government agencies. Our managed services teams can run your digital infrastructure or support your team on an on-demand basis, letting you focus on your business's strength. This has become a proven formula, so proven that 98% of our clients continue to do business with us year after year. Whether you need new IT services, new technology, or you just have a question, visit us on the web at geninf.com. And if you enjoyed our show today, we're here on Talk 107.3 FM every Saturday at 4, and the show will rerun Sunday at 4. If you missed any part of our show, or you would like to hear any of the previous episodes, check out our podcast, which is available on most every platform. And when you're there, be sure to subscribe so you'll be notified every time a new episode is posted. If you like our show, if you have some suggestions or want to submit a question, let us know by visiting our website, techgumbo.net. Thank you for listening to Tech Gumbo.